Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in. It's another week, and we're glad you're with us here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. If you're new to this or if you just check us out every once in a while, we do this each weekday at 11 o'clock. It's live here on the Big X Sports Radio. I know a lot of people from the area might be listening on 1450 AM or 96.1 FM, and out of the area, you can stream us on the TuneIn app. You can stream us directly from our station website at BigXSportsRadio.com. You click the Listen Live button. Lots of ways to be with us, and of course, the show most days, if we don't have baseball or some sort of special programming, the show re-airs in the 3 o'clock hour as well. But no matter how you're listening, whether it's live, podcast, whatever it may be, we are glad to have you with us. This is your home here in Southern Indiana as we talk IU basketball, Southern Indiana sports, and a lot of other stuff here each day. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany on this Monday program. We've got our regular lineup in segment one. We've got Hoosier headlines, the news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Later in the show, segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star to talk IU basketball and more. And then the last segment of the program today, as normal on Mondays, Chad Gilbert will be with me. He's Charlestown's athletic director. He's an IHSA executive board member. We talk about a lot of local topics when he joins us each Monday on the show. That's the guest lineup. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You do so at Honey Baked Ham, you'll receive $1 off your box lunch. So might stop by and take advantage of that one day this week. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I tell you what, a lot of recruiting stuff, and that's, I guess, what you would expect at this time of year. Of course, Anthony Harris, that's the big deal coming out of the weekend. He was on an official visit to IU. You're allowed 48 hours. He was spotted a couple places around Bloomington with the IU coaching staff. He is one of the guards, the better guards still on the board in the 2019 class of current seniors that are getting ready to graduate. And it's expected that he's going to make a college decision soon, because today and Tuesday, I believe, another 48-hour official visit, he's at North Carolina. So he goes right from Bloomington to Chapel Hill. And then I think at some point after that, I don't know if it's going to be immediately or within the next week or two, but he's expected to make a decision. That's it as far as visits and recruiting goes for him, it looks like. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's another name that could potentially join Joey Brunk as a recent commitment to the IU program. Also recruiting, Lester Quinones, another 2019 player. He's tweeted out over the weekend, actually on Friday, that he is going to make his college decision and announce that decision on May 10th. Indiana has been very involved. Keep in mind, Quinones canceled his original visit that was scheduled for Little 500 weekend in Bloomington, but it has been rescheduled. I believe, I don't have his visits up in front of me, but I believe Lester, IU will be the last school that Lester Quinones attends or visits before he makes his decision, which we now know will be on May 10th as well. Speaking of recruiting, a big part of this recruiting game now, I guess you could call it recruiting, is transfers, graduate transfers, underclassmen transfers, a lot of different ways that people can leave programs or be added to programs. Of course, there's different stipulations with each of them. But I guess when we talk about recruiting, traditionally you think, you know, about kids in high school and where are they going to go, and you know, are they an underclassman, are they in the senior class, how are they going to fit in? But the graduate transfers and everything else that's out there now in the world of college basketball, it's really kind of changed recruiting. It's changed a lot about the game. So one interesting note, Jake Forrester, we've talked a lot about potential players coming into IU's program, but we haven't really talked much about the players leaving. Jake Forrester is one of those players leaving the program. He took an official visit over the weekend to Temple, which would kind of make sense as far as the level of ball that he, you know, might be able to contribute best to. He told Rivals and Corey Evans, who covers recruiting and things along those lines for the Rivals network of websites, that Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, Penn State, VCU remain in contact with him. Of course, that's in addition to his visit he took over the weekend to Temple. He also listed, get ready for this, he also listed Duke as one of the schools that he's hearing from. Now, that on paper does not make a lot of sense, but who knows what the connection could be or what their need may be. But nonetheless, Jake Forrester at least saying that he's heard from Duke. Who knows if he gets an offer from there? I can't imagine a situation where that works out and is going to be beneficial for Duke. But Temple would sound like a reasonable landing spot for him. So we'll see what happens as he continues to try to find a new home leaving Bloomington. Speaking of players leaving programs, Nick Ward of Michigan State announced over the weekend that he's declared for the NBA draft. He has hired an agent, which really that's not as big of a storyline or topic as what it once was. It used to be if a player declared for the draft, you wanted to know if they hired an agent or not, because if they did, they could not come back and regain any college eligibility. They can do that now. So whether a player has or has not hired an agent, yeah, it's a big deal in the sense of their connections and do they think they can really get drafted, and an agent can help you through the process in a very great way. But if they do or don't, it's really not near as big of a storyline as what it was in recent years as well. But as big of an announcement as Nick Ward leaving the program is, Michigan State confirming this weekend, actually Friday as well, Cassius Winston, he will return to Michigan State for his senior year. So that obviously is a huge pickup in more ways than one. He's not only a great player, but a leader, as it was shown during the NCAA tournament for the Spartans team as well. Keep in mind, we know that IU and Michigan State, per the Big Ten last week, just a one-game matchup between those two schools next year based on the home games, the away games, and then the home and away series that were announced last week. That's all of our headlines. I did want to mention before we go, Juwan Morgan, 18 points in the Portsmouth Invitational Championship game. His team did not win, but they came in as runner-up. I told you last week that Juwan was there for a good portion of the week. It's all college seniors out in Virginia going through basically a combine, a workout. They're put on teams. They practice in front of coaches, scouts, professional personnel. It's not just NBA guys, but it's overseas coaches as well. And then they have a tournament at the end, and his team coming in second place with him scoring 18 points. So a good opportunity for him. Who knows what his NBA future holds? Maybe G League, who knows? But also the chance to be seen by overseas personnel, I think, is a really good thing for Juwan Morgan long term, as he, you know, looks to get paid to play the game that he's done so well in college. So let's hope that that was a good experience for him and opened some doors for him, no matter what level of professional basketball it may be. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Those are the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Still to come in the hour, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will talk IU basketball and more. Also later in the show, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSA executive board member, he will join me as well today. Glad to have you with us. Beautiful day out there. Should be good weather this week. I think Providence and Jeffersonville play tonight in high school baseball. We won't have the broadcast, but that's one of those big local games you pay attention to and should be a very good one. I believe that game is at Jeffersonville tonight. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he is with me today and Mondays every week as we talk a lot of IU basketball, a little IU football, and more here on the program each week. I want to start with this. I saw Jerome Hunter put out, I think, some sort of video or clip this weekend on his social media site. And I often forget, and I think a lot of IU fans and people that follow the team probably did, but what an important piece he was hyped up to be as an incoming freshman, and then what a bad situation it was where he not only had to sit out a number of games, but really the entire season for the IU team. And you think about his potential, and there's so many unknowns right now with his recovery, and actually the injury itself, the situation itself is really a little bit unknown because of health standards and reasons that IU can't say a lot. But when we talk about next year's team, he's a big piece that I often forget to bring up in my discussions on this program, and I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's quietly probably the biggest X factor for Indiana. I don't think that's unfair to say. And I know why he does maybe fly a little bit low to the ground in the minds of some fans, why it is that you know, when you start to draw rotations and starting fives and things like that, it's not like people are willfully forgetting him, but you get kind of an almost like, oh yeah, we forgot about Jerome Hunter, you know, reaction when somebody brings him up. He really did kind of fade into the tapestry a little bit this season because of his injury. And also I think because there was already so much kind of, you know, talk about Romeo, talk about Rob Phinisee, you know, I guess for better or worse, this season itself was awfully compelling at times. And I think that it's easy then to kind of, you know, not think about what comes next, what, you know, what sort of, you know, is kind of the next chapter or the next step. I think in some ways, maybe not quite the same way, but I would even say that it felt at times like people sort of forgot about Trace Jackson Davis a little bit, and that like you got to the end of the season and all of a sudden everybody remembered Indiana had a McDonald's All-American coming in the post. But if Jerome Hunter can get healthy, and that's obviously, as you said, we can't say that's a given purely because we have not seen him, you know, working out in full contact situations and those sorts of things. We haven't kind of heard any sort of all clear yet from Archie Miller. Probably won't for a while. I don't know if Archie will speak again before the Huber event in the summer. But if Jerome Hunter can get healthy, and if Jerome Hunter, you know, can kind of get back to full, not just full strength, but it's important to remember full basketball capacity. I mean, this is a guy he's missed a lot of basketball in the last, what, 12 months or so. If they can get him back to that point, then that's a huge boost for next year's team, that when you're starting to say, well, geez, where are the points going to come from? Where are the rebounds going to come from? How's Indiana going to deal with this or this or this? You know, is Devontae Green for real and all that stuff? That's all very important. But there's also a very significant question really to be asked about basically whether or not Jerome Hunter can be a significant beast for next year's team. If he can, that's a huge boost that, as you said, I'm not sure a ton of people are talking about.
And again, this summer, if he is able, and we don't, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a health situation. We hear scuttlebutt, you more than me probably, being in Bloomington all the time. But it's something that really you're pigeonholed on a little bit, what you can say, and because nothing's been confirmed and we don't know for sure. So I know it makes it really tough with the average fan that may not have any extra insight on this at all. So we have to kind of walk with a fine line here. But if he is able to come back with that lower leg injury, I think, as it was put by IU finally when some sort of announcement was made that kept him out, if he is able to return this summer, not only healing, becoming healthy once again, but this summer to get in shape, I can't imagine. You know, we talk about guys missing, you know, a number of games, and they got to get back in game shape before they can really contribute. But sitting out an entire year, if he didn't have such promise coming in, and we know such ability, I mean, people talk about Jerome Hunter, maybe not as a one-and-done type guy in Indiana, but someone that had professional ability at some point down the line in his career to play at the next level. If he can come back and get a summer underneath of him where he can get back in shape, and we're speculating here, some we don't know, but this summer, if that's the case, if he's able to get out, work out, get back in shape this summer for Jerome Hunter, bigger to me than any other player on the IU roster as far as the development and the recuperation and things that could happen for him.
No, I think you're right. And I think there's a couple things that are important to remember, and without wanting to over-speculate, as you said, on the injuries. You know, it's worth pointing out that when Deron Davis tears his Achilles tendon, Indiana just says that's what happened. You know, when Race Thompson and Rob Finnessy suffer their concussions, Indiana just says they're dealing with symptoms related to a concussion. And I'm not saying that Indiana is the most open and you know, active sort of program in the country when it talks about injuries, but it's also not like Indiana's just taking the hockey attitude of it's either an upper body injury or a lower body injury, and that's all we're going to tell you. That Indiana is being so cagey and kind of vague about this, I think at very least it's fair to discern that this is an unusual injury, that it is not something you deal with very often, and therefore it's not something where there's maybe kind of any sort of textbook, you know, timetable that says this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. It's just it is one where I think things have had to be fluid for a while in terms of his recovery, in terms of his activity, in terms of what he could do on a basketball court, all those different kinds of things. And the other thing I would say, too, to your point about if he can get back to sort of full fitness this summer being crucial, because it is, it really is crucial. I think that there's an argument, or at least that what I would remind people is Jerome Hunter didn't take a normal redshirt year. You know, Race Thompson took a redshirt year, but behind the scenes, he was spending every day working out with Cliff Marshall, practicing against Juwan Morgan and Deron Davis, you know, doing skills work with his assistants and his head coach and the GAs and putting up extra shots and all the kind of stuff that you would expect a college basketball player to do. You know, I think that maybe the best recent example of a redshirt player that Indiana fans might know well is Ethan Happ, comes in as a redshirt freshman, sure, but think about the time that he got to spend as a true freshman behind the scenes working against and learning from guys like Frank Kaminsky, you know, and Nigel Hayes. That's a true sort of, you know, that's a conventional redshirt year. If Jerome Hunter does get back and looks a little bit rusty, or maybe, you know, looks like some of his skills are kind of still in development, it's important to remember, like, by all accounts, he's not been able to do very nearly anything. And so this isn't just, oh, he had a redshirt year, so he should have worked on all these different things. He probably couldn't work on most of those things. And if that's the case, then you really are kind of talking, I think, about a player who is almost going to have to be a true freshman. Maybe you'd call it like a true freshman plus, I guess. if he plays, you know, if he's ready to be full go from the start of next season, because he has missed so much basketball time, not just time through injury, not just time where he can only do certain things, but he's missed, I'm guessing, the bulk of a year of basketball here. And that's that's going to be something that I think it's, as much as we just sort of talked about his potential to be kind of an X factor for Indiana next season, it's also important to remember, you know, what he's coming back from and what he's missed in these last, again, 10 to 12 months, and what he hasn't been able to work on as he kind of moves back toward rejoining the team in like a full basketball kind of way.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU Basketball, the topic, and Zach is with us Mondays to kick off our week here on the Hoosier Report. I was looking at a story Alex Bozich had over the weekend or earlier this morning maybe that talks about players coming and going in the Big Ten Conference, and I asked the last couple guests just generally as we look to talk about off-season happenings and players coming and going, their thoughts on the Big Ten Conference as a whole for next season. And a couple big announcements have come recently for multiple teams in the Big Ten Conference as far as players that are going to leave to at least try the draft, or players that are going to leave that we think will get drafted and that will expire, obviously, their college eligibility. But a big pickup a few days after losing Nick Ward, or maybe within the same day of losing Nick Ward to the draft, Cassius Winston's going to return to Michigan State. So curious your thoughts not only on Cassius Winston, a player not only of his caliber but his great leadership. That's what struck me, especially in those moments when Tom Izzo was the feature for getting on some of his players a little too hard, some people thought. Cassius Winston there to kind of help in some of those replays they showed over and over again to lead the team and be the intermediary maybe between Coach Izzo and his players. But with that said, not only that, but your thoughts on the Big Ten next year as far as comings and goings and an early outlook at how strong maybe the conference could be.
Yeah, I think, I mean, first of all, my sense was as good of a season as Cassius Winston had, that it wasn't going to be the NBA wasn't going to be kind of a likely sort of next step for him this year, and that is, I will admit, up front, 100% sort of measured from afar, but it just did sort of seem like that was kind of the attitude everyone had taken, that this season wasn't going to be the one where Winston was quite ready. You know, is Nick Ward ready? I don't know. I very much got the sense that, again, from 10,000 feet, that Ward was maybe felt like he was ready last year. And sometimes you just get guys who are ready to move on, you know, and ready to say, whether I'm playing in the NBA or the G League or overseas, I'm just ready for the next step in my career. And you can even get guys, and I think that Indiana fans will remember sort of James Blackman as maybe an example of this. You can even get guys where the NBA says, listen, you know, we're not sure if you're ready to be this or this or this, or, you know, so you can go back to college for another year, work on that. Then they come out the next year and the NBA says, well, we're pretty confident basically that you're these things, and you can go back to college for a year. You know, maybe you'll prove us wrong. What seems more likely is just that you will, you know, you kind of are what you are, and if you want to finish your college career, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in our eyes, there's probably not more you can do to kind of change your profile, change your draft stock, change your sort of professional, what's the word I'm looking for, sort of, I guess, almost your professional sort of evaluation. So if you're ready to just go be a pro, you know, just go ahead and go be a pro. And sometimes that can factor in with guys. I think specific to the Big Ten, you know, if you kind of start at the top and work your way down, I mean, there's still, I think, some questions about, or at least I think, some questions about kind of where Michigan's going to stand at the end of this. But I like the fact that Michigan's, unless Xavier Simpson is older than I'm remembering all of a sudden at the top of my head, Michigan's going to at least have Xavier Simpson back. And you know, kind of, I think if you can start with that strong leader, point guard, you know, guy who just seems to know where everyone's supposed to be and what everyone's supposed to be doing at any given time, I think that you can always build out from there. I think that Michigan State, as long as they have Winston, they're going to be okay. You know, they'll need some other guys to grow. Xavier Tillman, certainly. You know, Aaron Henry, as much as he can offensively. I think that quietly, the piece that Michigan State may need to replace that people aren't talking about is Matt McQuaid, because as good as Nick Ward is, I think it's worth pointing out, Michigan State basically goes on that stretch run where they win a share of the Big Ten title without Nick Ward. And I'm not trying to demean Nick Ward, but Matt McQuaid was huge in that stretch as a senior, as a defender, as a three-point shooter. And I just think that it's possible that Michigan State's going to miss him more than we realize. Purdue is one where, on the one hand, you say, well, this was supposed to be a youth movement year for Purdue, and to some extent it was. And they've got another, class coming in next year that seems to have some promising pieces, and if guys can step up, then they ought to be at least as sort of a baseline good. On the other hand, a little bit like Indiana, obviously with more success, because Purdue, comes within a whisker of a Final Four. You still also look at it and say, yeah, but geez, Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein, that's a lot of volume that you're losing in terms of scoring, in terms of shooting. Purdue this season was built around being able to shoot the three. That's two guys that are going to be able to space the floor and stretch defenses as good as anybody on your team. I think that there are, maybe a little bit more quietly than Indiana, a fair number of questions that Matt Painter is going to have to answer in West Lafayette. Minnesota loses at least Jordan Murphy, and I'm literally just kind of going down the rosters here. Nebraska's a team in massive transition now with Fred Hoiberg coming in. I think it's going to be a year where I feel like I say this almost every year. I don't know if there's an elite team in the Big Ten next season. Wisconsin, again, another example. There's a lot of pieces there. There's a lot to like. Brad Davison, Dimitri Trice. But you're also losing one of the best post players, or at least one of the highest producing post players the Big Ten's seen in the last 20 to 25 years and even have. You don't just replace guys like that. You don't just move on to something else, unless you're a program maybe like a Duke or a Kentucky where you can just kind of plug and play. Talent-wise, I think that it could be a year where the middle of the conference remains fairly strong. I'd look at a team like Iowa or a team like Maryland that quietly, if some guys can develop, could be really, really good next season. But I would also, in the same breath, I would say that I think that you're going to see enough sort of retreat from the top end of the conference that maybe next year we're talking about a Big Ten that could still land somewhere between 6 and 8 teams in the NCAA tournament and have plenty of just sort of solid middle-of-the-road, tournament teams, but maybe not a Big Ten that's got a Final Four caliber team or two in the mix.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Also along those lines, from an IU-specific scenario, Joey Brunk, we know, last week made the decision to become a graduate transfer from Butler to Indiana. He has 2 years of eligibility immediately, granted that eligibility as a graduate transfer, so he can participate right away for IU. That said, do you have any kind of feel on the recruiting situations going on right now? Anthony Harris was on campus over the weekend. He's at North Carolina now. His decision is forthcoming. Lester Canones has set a date of May 10th, and he'll visit Indiana between now and then. And I guess a number of other players that Indiana has reached out to or has had some contact with, a few players in the 2019 class. Do you have a feel on these remaining scholarships? Do you think they'll go to 2019 guys? Is there a 2019 guy you feel like maybe Indiana has the best shot with? And is along these same lines, is it possible that Archie Miller would consider another graduate player or another transfer of some kind?
I mean, I wouldn't take anything off the table at this point. I think it's this is another one of those times, and this is one of those that, like, when you say it in theory, everybody loves it. When it's in practice, and IU's got two open scholarships, and it's April 22nd. Everyone's like, "Oh, geez, what's Indiana going to do with these scholarships?" This is the approach that Archie Miller preached basically from day one. He's not throwing his iron into a ton of different fires. You pretty much mentioned everybody there. Indiana had also been involved with Harlan Beverly. Obviously, he's headed to Miami now. We've heard Indiana kind of linked to Jalen Windham, the Ben Davis guard who was committed to Georgia State before Ron Hunter moved to Tulane. At least as far as I know today, Indiana has not offered Windham a scholarship, but that's obviously something that can change with the dialing of a phone. My broader point is, you kind of mentioned everybody there, that it seems like it's pretty public knowledge Indiana's involved with. Harris has visited. Quinones will visit. You would imagine that if Indiana kind of turns up the heat with Windham, then they could probably get him for a visit as well, at least sort of an official visit, let's say. I think if I'm you know, gazing into my crystal ball today, it's still fairly cloudy. It's still fairly murky. But I think that it feels to me like Indiana needs at least one more, probably in this 2019 class. I just think you need a freshman class of at least three that gives you some of that roster balance and also lets you develop long-term. And I think both Harris and, at least as much as I know of them, Harris and Quinones sort of fit similar profiles. They can handle the ball a little bit, but they've also got some real scoring talent. And I think both of them are kind of players that are more developmental. I don't think either one of them is necessarily a player that's, you know, going to come in with, you know, lottery pick expectations or anything like that. I think it's also possible Archie Miller sits on a scholarship. You know, I mean, we saw him do that in his first summer. It wound up leading Indiana to Race Thompson in July. You know, it's in my mind, it's possible that he sits on one, because it's worth pointing out, Indiana's only got two seniors graduating after this year. Now, if he does pursue a graduate transfer, then that's three. But I think that there's sometimes an automatic assumption that graduate transfers are always a net positive, or at very least sort of a net zero, that if you get a grad transfer, that if you just take any old grad transfer, the worst thing that happens is he doesn't play a ton, and then everybody just kind of moves on with their lives. You know, graduate transfers can have negative you know, impact on a locker room as much as the next player. Now, it's also worth pointing out that they can come in and maybe not get the minutes you thought they would and still have a positive impact. I mean, you know, by all accounts, Evan Fitzner, you know, was one of the kind of behind-the-scenes guys that was really helpful for a number of players this year, and I don't know that Evan Fitzner necessarily wound up carving out the role he would have hoped for in his final season of college, but you still heard him as a guy that other players mentioned, you know, well, he, you know, the leaders are helping me do this, the seniors helped me do this. Fitzner was always one of those guys. So, hey, sometimes a graduate transfer can have an impact beyond points, rebounds, shooting percentages, and all that. But I can also see a world where, just in general, if there's not a fit that Archie Miller and his staff feel like they see in that market, then they bank the scholarship, and that gives them at least three, you know, pre-transfer, pre-is anybody going to leave early, pre-whatever. That's at least three scholarships they can play with in 2020 that gives them, again, the opportunity to restore some of that class balance, because this will be back-to-back classes now where you only graduate two players. And obviously this year that was moved up to at least three because of Romeo Langford's departure from the NBA. Next year, if you bank a scholarship, you could have three again. But it just lets you keep kind of bringing in those classes that are right in that three, four, maybe occasionally five-person wheelhouse, so that your roster winds up being nice and balanced. You have the right number of seniors, the right number of juniors, and on down the line. I would be pretty surprised if Indiana doesn't try to get at least one more player in, just for numbers as much as anything else, in the next few weeks. But I could also see a world where maybe they only take one more and they leave that 13th scholarship open and they try to do something else with it down the line.
Good stuff from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Final point here, final question for you before we let you go. IU baseball, I saw earlier this morning, they're in the top 25, I think number 23 in one of the polls that was released. They had a bit of a tough weekend at Michigan State, but still, IU baseball overall off to a really good start.
Yeah, I mean, well, they still took 2 of 3 at Michigan State, and I think they had to do the third and the doubleheader on Sunday just because everybody, I think, was kind of hit with some crappy weather on Saturday around the Midwest. But, you know, I mean, they exit this weekend a half game ahead in the Big Ten standings of Michigan and I think Nebraska, and, you know, you kind of wind up in the Big Ten in this situation where not everybody's played the same number of games because games have to get canceled and moved around for weather, and it's just unfortunate, but it's reality in the conference this time of year. But nevertheless, I, you know, on the one hand, I don't think anybody expected IU to be here, and I think that there have been a few factors. Number one, I mean, they lead, at least they left the weekend leading the nation in home runs. I mean, they, you know, they the old maxim goes, they don't bunt, they hit dingers. And that's been guys you'd expect, like Matt Lloyd and Matt Gorski. They've also gotten some real contributions from younger players. Grant Richardson right now seems to be setting himself up for a really strong case for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And they've also gotten some really good pitching. And I think that's been, you know, you knew that Indiana had some top-line pitching, some guys like Paulie Milto and you know, Tanner Gordon was a transfer but looked like he was going to be a really good piece. Then you also had some guys like Tommy Summer, who I think had some injury issues, but has been, you know, solid either side of that. Andrew Solfrank, who has just an unbelievable hook, but, you know, you kind of wondered, is he ever going to control it consistently? Well, he has a lot this season. And so they're getting strong weekend pitching. The midweek results have been a little up and down. You know, I mean, Indiana's kind of, you know, if I'm remembering their schedule right, they get beat up a little bit when they play Wright State in Bloomington, and then, which is obviously Jeff Mercer's old program. Then they play Penn State, and I think they take two or three in that series against Jeff Mercer's old boss, who was the Wright State head coach before Jeff Mercer and left Wright State for Penn State, thereby opening the door for Mercer to get elevated a little bit. And then, as always happens, and I don't know why this is, I don't know why it always seems to work out this way for Indiana, late April and May are going to kind of be what makes or breaks this team. They're very much on course for another at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. You know, that we're kind of past the point of talking about this run as unprecedented in modern Big Ten baseball history. They're just, you know, this is the most consistent, at least consistent. Maybe, you know, look, they haven't won a national title or anything like that. They haven't even won a lot, really, in the Big Ten since 2014. But in terms of just the consistency of always being in the postseason, always being in the NCAA tournament, Indiana's on course for that right now. I think they've even got possibly an outside shot at hosting a regional, but they've got series coming up still at Illinois and at Michigan, two of the better teams in the league. Michigan's probably the best team in the league. They've got Minnesota at home. They still play Kentucky and Louisville. Those are big RPI games. And it, for whatever reason, it always seems to work out this way, that not just the Kentucky and Louisville games, but Indiana's biggest Big Ten series are always backloaded in the schedule. And so I think if Indiana can really make some hay right now, and I guess kind of they have, you know, if you think of the old phrase, make hay while the sun shines, that's what they've been doing when the Big Ten schedule's been a little bit more kind. If they can carry that into these big series upcoming, they have a chance maybe to win the league, but even more than that, to solidify their NCAA tournament position, and possibly, if they really go on a run here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, possibly even be talking about hosting a regional for the first time since 2014. They're still a ways off from that, but I think that if you told, you know, Fred Glass, the average IU baseball fan, maybe even at some level Jeff Mercer, that they would have come this far this quickly, then I think you would have felt like, yeah, that's been a really surprising and successful season in Bloomington, given all the transition they had to deal with Chris Malonis leaving.
The latest on IU basketball and IU baseball with Zach Osterman to start the week, the Monday program here on the Hoosier Report. Zach, thank you so much. Good stuff as always, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Zach Osterman with the Star, always with us Mondays to get the week started. We'll head to a commercial break. Chad Gilbert is next. We'll talk some local sports headlines. Chad, of course, the athletic director at Charlestown, IHSA executive board member. I'll be back with him after this right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is with me. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director and also an IHSA Executive Board member. He's with me Mondays. We talk a lot of local sports headlines to start the week. Chad, the off-season for basketball, it's never really the off season for you or for an athletic director. You've got all sorts of spring sports going on, and fingers crossed that this pretty good weather that we've had for the most part holds out here in the spring. But the off season for hoops is a time for coaching changes, a time for a lot of, you know, just behind the scenes stuff. And a lot of jobs open, a lot of high school jobs open across the area, a handful in our immediate area, but more so across the Southern Indiana region. I think it's been a pretty active year for openings. You guys at Charlestown have an opening, and I think you're nearing the end of that process. So coaching changes, off season, spring sports, trying to hire a new coach. I know there's never a down moment.
It's been a busy time, Matt. And first off, talking about spring sports, as an AD, as a coach, you never want to cancel a ball game. One, you want to give your kids an opportunity to play. And two, as an AD, it's too much to tell everybody, hey, the game's canceled, we're going to make it up on this day. You got to tell your workers, your umpires, the opposing teams. A lot goes into that behind the scenes that it's more than what you think. So we've been very lucky this spring. We've had great weather. We had a wash Friday and Saturday, but it looks like this week's going to be good, so we're very fortunate to be where we're at. Now, as far as coaching goes, big turnarounds, big switches, and I think you're going to see more and more of that every year, because to me it just doesn't seem like young people are going to college to be a teacher and to be a coach. And there's so many demands placed on a teacher nowadays that it's almost like you're doing two jobs if you're going to do them right. You've got your 8-to-3 that pays the bills, and then you come back with your 3-to-8 that, you know, you do out of passion, out of love, and out of trying to get people better. It's a demanding profession, a lot of time in it, but there's some awfully good people out there that care about kids and want to share their knowledge and try to produce the best players, the best teams, the best a school can offer as far as pride in the community goes. So there's big hires. We're wrapping up ours right now. And one thing, Matt, is like anything else, nothing is easy as it appears. You've got to run stuff past HR. You've got to make sure your interviews are the same. You've got to make sure that the process goes the same for every candidate. There's just so many things that go with it. Then you've got to make sure that they're approved with their teaching, they're approved with their coaching, with all the background checks that go involved with it. And it's not like they do this stuff every day. There's only two school board meetings a month, so you got to be in line with the school board meetings in order to get them approved. So there are some challenges behind the scenes with these things, but at the end, every AD and every coach knows it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest here on this Monday edition of the program. You know, you and I have talked a lot also about Bellarmine and Southern Indiana, your alma mater, where you won a national championship in basketball, really about Division II as a whole, how quality, if no one's been paying attention to how quality that basketball is, but also the baseball and other sports. We have a lot of players here in our area that go on to play other sports. I can think of a number of baseball players from this area that are either at Bellarmine now or at Southern Indiana now, or will be there next year once they graduate from this year. That said, Bellarmine, word kind of got out late last week and over the weekend that Bellarmine is seriously considering a jump to the Division I level for all of their varsity sports. They've even had a conference on campus to look at facilities and to talk about particulars, and that's been rumored before at Southern Indiana as well. And it's amazing the number of schools that either are or have once been members of the GLVC conference that, like Northern Kentucky. I mean, you look where they're at now, and others rumored to maybe make that jump as well. Your thoughts on specifically first Bellarmine? Is that a smart jump? How does that affect the scene locally with the U of L right there in their backyard? I say that because Bellarmine and Southern Indiana have been great schools for a lot of our area student athletes. What are your thoughts on a jump from D2 to D1 for those schools?
The guys that are making that decision, Matt, are much, much smarter than I am. They know what their school needs. They know what their student athletes need. They know what their faculty needs are. I don't understand how all this stuff works involved with it. Looking at it from the outside fan end, there's no one who's a bigger fan of Bellarmine basketball and what Coach Davenport has done over there. You know, side note on that one, Chance Dugan, the women coach, she was the women's coach at USI when I played at USI. So I have much a lot of love for both of those and much respect for both of those coaches. That being said, from an outsider looking in, facility-wise, I just don't see it. I mean, I may be wrong. Their baseball field's beautiful coming in. They're, the different things that they have going involved with Knights Hall is outstanding. But it appears, from again, outside looking at, they're kind of landlocked there. But again, those guys know much more than I do on that one. Would they be good in Division I? I think anytime you have the leadership that they have, the coaches in place that they have at Bellarmine, and the athletes, the student athletes that they have at Bellarmine, I think they're going to be successful anywhere they go. The flip side of that coin, Southern Indiana just built a new arena. They have a little bit, you know, they have room to grow at Southern Indiana on campus. I would think they would be much more in place to be ready than Bellarmine is. And of course, you know, I'm a Southern Indiana alum. I love Southern Indiana. You know, they had a great run this year. That being said, again, those guys, they know what is involved in it, what the benefits are, the pluses versus the minus. When, just off of my head, my wife played at Southern Illinois Edwardsville. They're Division I now. We beat Oakland in the tournament my senior year. They're Division I now. Northern Kentucky, Division I now. And it seemed to work out for those guys. So if Bellarmine and Southern Indiana would make that jump, there's no doubt in my mind that it would be good for them. Could the players that play over there be successful at the Division I level? Absolutely. You see them play Cincinnati. You see them play Louisville. And they compete and do what they do in those things. And a lot of times in those games, the Division II teams in the exhibitions, they've got the Division I guys on the ropes. I mean, because you think about it, those are four-year kids going against some first-year kids coming in. And the D2s let off the gas because they don't want to get that guy in trouble for getting beat by a D2, if that makes sense to you. And they allow that team to – I guess what I'm saying is that last 4 minutes, that last 6 minutes, they're not trying to put that team away. They're allowing that Division I team, if they're in trouble, to win because they don't want to get that coach in trouble who's giving them the opportunity to play. But it circles back around. Can they play? Can they be successful? Absolutely.
Talking with Chad Gilbert. Chad, the athletic director at Charlestown, also an IHSA executive board member. I want to give a quick shout-out to this. I think we talk about this most years. This weekend – you talk about off-season happenings for high school coaches, at least basketball coaches. This weekend is the IBCA, the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association Clinic. It's a lot of great speakers, a great educational opportunity, whether it's X's and O's or how to run your program administratively. A lot of good stuff happens there. And, of course, a lot of camaraderie and partying and all the things that happen when coaches get together to share war stories and other things that come up, I'm sure. But also this weekend, a guy that you've known for a long time and a guy that I've known for a long time, Clark Miles, an assistant coach at Jeffersonville. I think he's 30-plus years now on the basketball side. And for years, until maybe the last 5 or 6 seasons, he's been a baseball assistant coach at Jeffersonville as well. But he is going to be honored as Indiana Assistant Coach of the Year with his head coach, Joe Luce. So the clinic's a lot of fun. You can speak on that, but also neat to see Clark be recognized for his years and years of service and love for the Jeffersonville community.
Well, first on that one, Matt, unfortunately, I will not be able to attend the clinic this year. I've been every year since I've been athletic director. It's a great opportunity. The IBCA clinic, the IBCA is a wonderful organization. They provide scholarships for student athletes. They honor our players. They honor our coaches. And everyone involved in that takes a lot of pride in Indiana high school basketball. So being unable to attend this weekend is something that I'm not real excited about not being able to be there. I wanted to be there. Something's came up. I can't do it. That's what it is. But talking about that, they honor assistant coaches. They honor administrators of the year. Clark Miles is second to none as far as assistant coaches. You know, I can remember when I was a little kid playing Charlestown All-Stars. We're playing at Ewing Lane. Clark's coaching Jeff GRC. You know, we're a little kid. I'm 10 years old. How do I remember that one? Because he made an impression on me then. He came up to me after the game, told me what a good job that I did, and we stayed, you know, in touch as we went through playing in Little League games, Little League basketball, and always came up to me and talked to me at the game. So he always made an impression on me, and this is, you know, going back 30 years. So he is well-deserved on that. He is not only an outstanding assistant coach, he's an outstanding ambassador to not only Clark County, but the state of Indiana. So very, very happy for Clark Miles. I also honor Administrator of the Year, a guy that I'm on the IHSA with, Jeff Doyle, who played at Lagodi. He's Lagodi's all-time leading scorer, the principal at Bar Reef. He's receiving that honor, another well-deserved honor for someone who's not only a great administrator, great person.
Wait a second. I know Mr. Doyle, all-time leading scorer at Lagodi and principal at Bar Reef. That would be like going from New Albany to Jeff, right?
That's that area. I don't get involved in that one. Hey, I'll give you some advice. Don't get involved in that either. But you're exactly right. That anybody who hasn't had a chance to be part of that beltway through there, that's a really cool setup with all the teams involved in that. But we'll save that for another day. One other shout out I want to give though is Abby Conklin is going into the Indiana High School Hall of Fame this weekend. The Women's Hall of Fame is this weekend. She is going in that. Well deserved for someone who is a two-time national champion at University of Tennessee, who is Miss Basketball at Charlestown High School, and when she graduated, was the all-time leading scorer in the state of Indiana. So congratulations to all three of those. But you talk about the clinic. Real quick, man, I know we're running out of time, but it's a who's who. You know, you get to see not only basketball coaches, but you get to see Matt Dennison's there. You get to see Chris Mays there. You get to see guys who are behind the scenes that make it work. And it's all clinic is you. It gives you as a coach a time to decompress and now think about the upcoming year. And the clinic's about two things. You know, coaching is sharing and stealing. And coaches share and coaches steal. So there's going to be a lot of that going on. There's going to be a lot of good talking going on, a lot of networking, and a lot of fun. I hate I have to miss it, but you're going to hold the fort down for me.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana.
Absolutely. We'll talk with Chad next week. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Back tomorrow, Tuesday, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com to talk IU basketball. Talk to you then right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.